Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a blessing it already has been just being in this place. And I trust that you sense the very presence of God here. That's what we pray all week long, that God would make this a place of refuge, and not just for our membership, but for whoever comes through the doors of this church. And it can be a place of refuge when you sense the presence of God in this place. And I trust that you've been able to do just that. Ephesians in chapter 6, the book of Ephesians, a very familiar passage of scriptures, but I believe this is where God would have us to be on this Father's Day. Ephesians in chapter 6, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 4. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Yeah. Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, what a blessing it has already been just being in this place. Thank you for your presence. Now, Father, as we open up your holy word and look to a very familiar passage of scripture, and yet I believe that you have a very powerful message for each one of us to receive here today. And I pray, God, that everyone here would be open and receptive to that. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible says in verse 4, praise the Lord for verses 1 through 3, and that's a powerful message there for everyone to realize and how important it is to honor your parents, to be able to receive the blessings that are associated with just that. But in verse 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers." A message to fathers. If you're a father, God is talking to you. I trust you're listening. And everyone else, if you're not a father, to understand what God says to a father is important. For every woman to understand that, for every child to understand that. For every young man that's getting ready to be married or that is married before you have children, God's speaking to you if you're going to be a father. Almighty Creator God created all things, designed humanity, has a message to fathers. God's talking to you. You can't find a more important verse in all the Bible concerning a father. Now, concerning a man, I believe Matthew 22, 37 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Every boy needs to be raised with this as the most important verse in their lives concerning a man. As a husband, Ephesians 5, 25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." I don't think there's a more important verse in all the Bible to those that are married as husbands than that verse right there, Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 25. But as a father, on this Father's Day, God is speaking to us, and when he says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." God designed children to have a desire to look to their fathers. If you were here in Sunday morning Sunday school, then you realize that God established man to be the head of the home and a man to be the head of the church. That's God's design. You can't improve on perfection. Whether you agree with it or not, if you don't agree with it, it just shows your ignorance of understanding it. Because you can't improve on God's design. And if you look to the Bible, you know God's design is for a man to be the head of the... But God designed children to have a desire to look to their fathers. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 6, it says, "The glory of children are their fathers." It's inside of them, instilled with it by God, because God wanted the man to have an impression and have an influence over the children that God gives us. So God's message in verse 4 simply says, as they look to you, as a father, as your children look to you, do not provoke them, but bring them up as I say to bring them up. There's only one biblical way to raise children. There's a lot of different ways to raise children, but there's only one biblical way to raise children, and all other attempts will lead to some type of provoking to anger. That word provoke means to be the cause for. Don't be the cause for. Many live their lives filled with anger, bitterness, and hurt because of the failures of a father. That's just reality. In every generation, many live their lives filled with anger because they didn't have a father in their lives raising them as God would have them to raise them. Filled with bitterness because the father was not there to help guide them. Hurt because a father was not there to help. Can I tell you, it's not an excuse. You've heard me say it because it's biblical. There's never an excuse for wrong behavior, but there's always reasons why people behave wrongly. If you did not have that father image and that father figure in your life as God wanted it to be, it's not an excuse for you to turn out wrong. I'm not saying that this morning. You cannot use any excuse, because when you stand before God, every one of us will stand before God and give an account for ourselves, and will not be able to say, "God, it was because of that rotten dad you gave me, or it was because of that family that you put me in, or it's because of that church or that pastor." Listen to me. There will be no one there for you to put the blame on, because God has given every one of us a free will. And with a free will, God, the power of God, the influence of God, the presence of God is able to overcome any other negative influence in our lives. If we look to God for that, He can become a father to the fatherless. He can become whatever you have need of. So there is no excuse. But when those children do not learn to look to God and do not have that position of a heavenly father to look to, then because of the negative influence of a father in their lives, then they are filled with anger and bitterness in their lives. Wow. No excuse, but it is a reality. If you would, just a couple biblically correct statements. Animals live and die, and that's the end. But every child will live somewhere in eternity forever. Every child. Because God created man different than the animals. God created man with an eternal soul. And every little baby that's born into this world has an eternal soul and will live somewhere in eternity forever. Children come from God. The Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. And every father will answer to God concerning this verse. If you don't want to answer to God concerning that verse, don't be a father. But if you're a father, then God's talking to you. And he says, provoke not your children to wrath. And the way to keep from doing that is raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Three common failures. This verse and the message that God's given to us, listen to me. From day one, there's been three common failures that Satan uses over and over again that will go opposite this verse right here. First of all, no nurture and no admonition. That word nurture means that which nourishes, to feed and promote growth. If you will, it's love. It's a kind of love that Christ had for the church, and he tells husbands to have for your wife. It's a kind of love that God has for humanity that wanted to send his only, was willing to send his only begotten son because he knew that mankind needed it, and without his son paying our sin debt, we would all die and go to a devil's hell. And so this idea of nourish is the idea of just loving as God has loved us, to nurture that which nourishes, to feed, to promote growth. The idea of admonition means to warn of a fault, to reprove, to correct. That is to discipline. The very same discipline, if you will, that God has revealed in disciplining in mankind. The very same discipline that we find that God disciplines his children as our heavenly Father. I often told parents, if you ever have a decision to make and you don't know just quite how to make that decision, you always have the example of God the Father. Love your children and raise your children as God loves you and as God wants to raise us. I believe that's why Jesus gave us that insight into now in this New Testament Christianity that you have a heavenly Father that you pray through the Son, through Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, all showing its love for humanity. But we have a heavenly Father. So the first of the three common failures is this father runs from his God-given responsibility and turns it over to someone else. They may or may not live in the home. I know of some deadbeat fathers that live in the home but never do anything to nurture or admonish the children. And I know some that have children just run from it. They think that's going to help them to escape being accountable. And yet that will not help you to escape being accountable under Almighty God. But they run. No nurture, no admonition. They fail to use their influence. And when they fail to use their influence, they lose it. The Bible gives us, we'll not turn there, but we have the example of Lot and his family. Lot and his family, if you remember, when he separated from Abraham, he made the decision, but he didn't look to God to make the decision that was best for his family. He looked at what the eyes saw and what the eyes wanted. He let the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the desire to have something better than Abraham and have a better looking piece of property, and he allowed that to dictate what decision he made without having his children in mind. And because he made the decision based upon the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, he made the decision to go to Sodom, and Sodom had more of an influence on his children than what he had. And because he failed to influence his children, he lost the influence, and they died, all except for his two younger daughters, but had already been influenced by Sodom, and they all died when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And he'll give an account for that. The second of the three common failures is the father that is big on discipline or admonition, but shows no love or nurture. I would think of, if we had time to look to that, and I could share with you King Saul and his son Jonathan. Didn't see any love for King Saul and Jonathan. All just, you do what I say to do, or I'll even take your life. If you befriend David, then I'll take your own life. You won't even be my son. And so many fathers make that mistake. They strict disciplinarian just because that's how I was raised. My father disciplined me this way, and so I'm going to discipline you this way. And some of them even use and quote Proverbs chapter 23, which is usually quoted and interpreted wrongly. Proverbs chapter 23, if you don't know it, let me read it to you. Proverbs chapter 23, and some would like to take it out of the Bible, but if you understand it, you don't want to take it out of the Bible. You want everyone to hear it. You want to preach it from the mountaintops. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13 says this: withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. That disciplinarian father says, hey, he's not going to die. It'll make him tough. Give me that iron, that rod of iron, or give me that belt with... My dad was a police officer, an auxiliary police officer, and when he spanked us, you know, he would get that belt out, and that belt had spikes on it at least that wide, that long. At least they seemed to be that long. He would get that big old black police belt out, and he would hit you by one hand, and he'd come across, and I learned early, you don't try to run from it because he has more leverage in swinging it. And so when you're going to get it, you know you're going to get it. Get as close to him as you can because he can't hardly get enough leverage. And it doesn't hurt near as much. Yeah. But just because that's how I was raised and I was beaten and I was taken to discipline this way, that's how I'm going to discipline my children. It's not going to hurt them. Mom, get out of the way. He'll survive it. And I'm all for discipline. But that's, you can't stop at that one verse. Verse 14, it says, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. It's not talking about abuse. It's talking about discipline in a right way, because if you would look to the next verse, he says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. If disciplining you causes you to have right thinking, places within you a right heart, then I've accomplished my job. Because my discipline is not just because I'm going to discipline you the way I was raised, but understand, if I love you, I'll discipline you. Yeah. I tell every parent, a parent should never discipline out of anger. Before you ever discipline that child, you had better have a tear coming out of your eye. Because it's you discipline from your heart. You do it because it's out of necessity for that child to turn out right. Too often, we find those disciplinarians that don't think that the child needs to be nurtured. They just need to be admonished. He goes on to say, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. The purpose for the reins, the purpose for the discipline, is not only to affect their heart, but affect how they apply their heart and what they say. Most important, biblical discipline is only out of love. God never disciplines his children out of anger. But God always disciplines his children. And it's out of love. Yeah. So you have the father, no nurture, no admonition. Running from the responsibilities, running from the commandments of God. You're going to give an account for that. You have a father that just focuses on one. And whether you realize it or not, you're going to provoke that child. You're going to give an account for that. Then there's the third common failure. The father that is big on nurture but neglects to admonish. There's no discipline. It's hard for them to confront their child, or especially their teenager, for fear of losing the child's love. You didn't get that from the Bible. Well, I don't want them to be rebellious. I don't want to discipline, and then they'll resent me, and they'll resent the church, and I don't want to force them to come to church, because if I force them to come to church, they'll resent ever coming to church, and when they get out on their own, they won't be in church. That's not true. I don't know that I appreciated it then, but today I am thankful that I didn't have to ask whether or not I was going to church. It was a given. We're going to church. I would have been disciplined if I asked my dad, do I have to go to church today? What do you mean, son, asked you me that? And today, I'm thankful. Because he knew what was best for me, and he was the one, my father was the one that ruled the house, because that was the position that God gave him. He did not give that to the child. The child is to be raised. The child is not to control the home. The child is not to raise the parents. The parents are supposed to raise the child. So often, we think we are doing what's best for our children by giving them whatever they want. You didn't get that from God. He designed them. And in his design, he tells us foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Matter of fact, turn over to Proverbs chapter 29 with me. I'm just about done here. Proverbs chapter 29. Verse 15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Wow. You see, they do whatever the child wants them to do, and they neglect the discipline and the admonishing that God commands. Every child has a sin nature. You see, most of us, if I would ask, do you know that you're a sinner? Most of us would very quickly say, I know that I'm a sinner. I know what takes place in my mind. I know what takes place in my heart. I have to bring my body into subjection every day. I have to bring my mind into subjection every day. If I let it run, it's going to go in the wrong direction. If I let my heart run, it's going to go in the wrong direction. I know that I am a sinner. Do you know when you received that sin nature? In the womb of your mother. The sin nature that you acknowledge today, to look back over your life and to see some of the things that I did in my life that I'm very much ashamed of and I wish I could go back and change, but because I am a sinner and I have a sin nature, I look at my past life and I think about all those things and I am a chief of sinner, as Paul would say. That very same sin nature you had as a baby. You had as a toddler. You had as a teenager. Even though that's when you thought you knew more than mom and dad, you had a sin nature as a teenager, as a young adult, as a married adult, and even as a senior adult. It's always been there. God knows about it. And he says, if you don't discipline your child, you will actually provoke that child. And they will go in a wrong direction. Father, this message is for you. It's God's message to you. And ye fathers, God speaking to you, provoke not your children to wrath. And the only way that you're going to keep from doing that is to bring them up. Don't stop at teenage years. They still need you then more than ever before. Do not stop until they're out from underneath your roof, until they're out from underneath your authority. God says, God does not give a time frame on honoring. And if you raise that child right, you're instilling within that child a desire to honor you, and that'll take that child throughout the rest of their life. They will leave your authority, and they're supposed to when they get married. Leave mom and dad, amen, and cleave to that spouse that God's given to you. Yes, that's biblical. But don't stop short. As long as you have the authority over your child, use that authority and use that leverage to get them to live and to do as God would have them to live and what God would have them to do. And you raise that child until that child leaves your authority. God is talking to you. Raise, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, your children need you. Whether you realize it or not, your children need you. There's only one way, and it's God's way. And it's the best way for a child to be raised. I'm going to close with this poem I love. It says, I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other people I'll meet. I may never have the fame that other men may have. But I've just got to be successful as my little girl's dad. There are certain dreams that I'll cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I'd like to accomplish before my working days are through. But the task my heart is set on is no mere passing fad. I've just got to be successful as my little girl's dad. It's the one job I dream of, the task I think of most. For if I fail my little girl, I've nothing else to boast. For all the wealth and fame I'd gather, my fortune would be sad if I fail to be successful as my little girl's dad. I may never come to glory. I may never gather gold. And men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if my little girl can just grow up godly, then I'll be glad. Then I'll know I've been successful as my little girl's dad. Fathers, a message from God. Your children need you. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you giving your children what they need? Are you being obedient to God? Can't do anything about yesterday. You can't go back in time. But you have the rest of your life. You have from this moment forward to be all that God wants you to be. And He'll help you every step of the way if you'll just look to Him. Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your example. And we thank you for your instructions to us. And I pray, God, that every individual here would be willing to accept their God-given responsibilities, be all that you'd have them to be, especially the fathers. For this we pray in Jesus' name.